Well, today we're going to continue our series called I'll Be Home as we're looking at how God came to make a home among us and how God is inviting us back home. But of course, coming home is not always easy, so we're using some of our favorite Christmas movies to explore what coming home looks like, because it's so interesting as we look at our favorite Christmas movies because they're all about home and these relationships are so important to us. And so next week we're going to be looking at It's a Wonderful Life and how our lives really do make a difference and impact the lives of those around us. And then on Christmas Eve, we're going to look at Charlie Brown Christmas, which is going to be a lot of fun. But today, as you noticed, we're looking at this movie called Elf, this 2003 Christmas comedy starring Will Ferrell that's all about joy. I mean, this movie is all about joy. So if you're a person here who needs a little bit more joy, or you would say that smiling is my favorite, then this is your Christmas movie, right? You know this one. You've probably already watched it a couple times. But what I love about this movie is it really does give us the secret of filling our homes with joy. And that is the code of the elves. So this code of the elves, the number one that we would treat every day like Christmas. And the second is that there's room for everyone on the nice list. And then finally, like the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. I know you want to join in on that. But of course, our lives, our days, our homes are not always filled with joy. They're not always filled with joy. And so today I want to look at a scripture that helps us see how we would find joy when we've lost it. And Jesus gives us a way to do this. In Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 1, it says this. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. And when John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." And as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? And if not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in the king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. And I tell you, more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Well, I just love Christmas time, because it just seems like there is a little something in the air. And you know, the way that I really enjoy experiencing this is by going to the mall. I mean, this really puts it to the test, and you know what I'm talking about, right? Because I'm just a last-minute Christmas shopper. Always have been. Always think I'm going to do better. But then there's a part of me that, you know, I just kind of look down on y'all whenever you've already done your Christmas shopping, because I'm like, that's no fun at all. I was going through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru line, as I do during the week, and I had those who come and they take my order, but I've already done it on my mobile app because that's how I roll. And so as I was sitting there talking to them, because we still have to interact, they're young. They're like college students. And they're like, "Oh, yeah, I've already finished all my Christmas shopping." And I was like, "What are you talking about? Like, what if you see something else, or what if you think of something else?" I mean, here's what happens is whenever I get ahead on my Christmas shopping, then I always just end up spending more. So I'm like, it's better for me to wait to the last second. And so I always end up at the mall. And because I love to hunt around, I want to touch it, I want to find that perfect gift. But when I go, I have to prepare myself. Because I want to keep this idea that there's something in the air, right? And it's magical and it's awesome. And the first test is always the parking lot, right? So I have to make sure that I kind of pass that. I have to just kind of decide if I just park really far away, then I don't have to fight anyone for a spot. It doesn't have to get weird or tense or anything like that. I can just decide I'm going to walk, because once I get inside, I love it. It just seems like people are more polite. There's excitement, there's anticipation, and I love to walk by the lines of people who seem like they're going to be in line for hours to go in to see Santa. But I just like it because I just watch it, and it's just, it's awesome. It's joy-filled. It's that wonder, it's that awe. It's my favorite time of year, and I want to choose to see it that way. And that's what I love about this movie, Elf, because it really does tell us the secret to joy, how you and I find it when we lose it, and how we can experience it, even in a funny Will Ferrell sort of movie. Because it tells us, for us to find joy, that we need to choose to see it and choose to create it in others. Well, you probably know this story, but Elf begins in this way, that it tells us that Santa was going delivering presents at an orphanage, and there, as he gets distracted by the milk and cookies, that a young baby crawls into his bag. And then Santa takes him back to the North Pole, only to discover they now have a baby with Buddy on the diaper. So they said, well, we'll call him Buddy. And then Papa Elf, who's not able to have any elf children of his own, adopts Buddy into his family and raises Buddy as an elf. Buddy, who's a human, raised by elves. And Buddy becomes a part of the family. But then, of course, we know that Buddy, who's like 6'5" or something, kind of figures out that he's not really an elf. Everyone kind of breaks the news to him. And then he decides, you know what? I want to go and find my dad. And that's when he discovers that his dad's on the naughty list. Let's take a look. In a lot of ways, this is living out that there's room for everyone on the nice list. But this reminds me of the story of John the Baptist. Because as we find John the Baptist, that he's an important part of this Christmas story, that his story is intertwined with Jesus, as we talked about last week, that even John had this miraculous birth, and that he had this special role to prepare the way for the Messiah. And as we looked at that John was in the wilderness, kind of looking like the Grinch with camel hair, and he was having this message of repent, for the kingdom of God is near, to literally to turn the other direction. And so John wasn't pulling any punches with his message that God was coming and that people needed to change. And so John even, well, offered up this message to King Herod. And King Herod was the puppet king of the Roman Empire that Rome had put in place to satisfy the people of Israel. But then King Herod wasn't really a true king, and people didn't recognize him as king. And then Herod went and married his brother's wife, and that caught John's attention. And John, well, let him know what he thought about that, and how Herod wasn't living according to the standard and the law and the vision that God would have for his people. And so Herod had John arrested. And John was in prison. And he had been for a while. I just imagine, as John is in prison, that perhaps he's thinking, you know, this is not how things are supposed to go. That as he sat there day after day and waited for his Messiah to come and to rescue him, that he began to wonder if it would ever happen at all. That Jesus was not doing the things that John expected him to do. Because John had expected that in the same way as he was preparing the way and living into his special calling, that Jesus would come, and as he baptized Jesus, then Jesus would go and to take this same message out, and that Jesus would do what a lot of people expected Jesus to do, which would to lead a revolution, to lead a revolt, to overthrow Herod and to overthrow the Roman Empire and to establish this kingdom back on earth that Israel had had before. That this was the kind of kingdom that Jesus was going to usher in. And that was the same expectation that John had. And so as he said in prison, that for him this picture of Jesus doing what Jesus was supposed to do would be Jesus freeing him from prison as Jesus overthrew those powers. And so John is now allowing his current situation and experiences, expectations of Jesus, to rob him of his joy. And so he sends messengers to Jesus with this question. Did you catch it? Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? This is the question of someone who's disappointed, who's let down, who's lost their joy, whose faith has left them. Are you the one I've been waiting for, or should we expect someone else? What robs you of your joy? You know, perhaps it's those moments where we get caught in that comparison trap when we look at the lives of people around us and we lose joy for those things that we have and those experiences that we have. Perhaps it's those moments where we have negative people all around us. And we get caught up in that narrative, and we get caught up in seeing the world for everything it lacks, for those voices of hate. And then pretty soon that's all that we feel and hear and view the world as. Or perhaps we have those times where we have our own unmet expectations, and we just see it that this is what happens over and over and over. Whatever it might be that steals your joy, it could be any number of things. But I know this, that all of these different experiences get compounded when they're a part of our family experience, when they're a part of what shapes our home, when it's those that are closest to us that seem to be the ones that steal our joy. And so when I look at this, I see this for John. Because John and Jesus were cousins. Now, we're not sure how much time they spent together growing up. They could have been raised together, or John might have been raised outside in a community called the Essenes, that John probably was a part of that, and maybe Jesus, with being raised as a carpenter, maybe he was a part of more the city and the capitalist, it's called the Greek cities that were around, the Roman cities that were around, that he was a part of that. But we do know that the family system was so strong in ancient Israel that they would have known each other. They would have interacted. They would have known that their stories were intertwined, that God was doing something special in their life. And in that moment when John is preaching in the wilderness and Jesus comes to him, all of these expectations were coming to bear on Jesus. And now John's disappointed and alone in prison. Are you the one? Or should we expect someone else? And this is what Jesus says to him in verse 4. Go back and report to John what you hear and see. And this is what he says. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Good news is proclaimed to the poor. What Jesus is saying to him is, in the midst of your disappointment, when you've lost your joy, when you have all these expectations, look and see what God is doing all around you. What Jesus is saying to us is that when you and I lose our joy, when we're looking to find our joy again, and maybe we're saying, God, I can't seem to find it on our own, then perhaps the way that we find joy is to look and to see what God is doing in the lives of other people all around us, to see how God is at work, to see how God is meeting their needs, to see how God is saving them, redeeming them, healing them, and let that be the source of our joy. Because Jesus is saying, look and to see and to celebrate all that God is doing around you. And that's when Jesus turns to the crowd, in case anyone would look down on John. And he says to them, no one is greater than John, but anyone who would come after him, that person is even greater. Jesus is saying, God is up to something among all people. Do you see it? And that brings us to the second way that you and I can rediscover our joy. As we see in this movie, Elf, that the best way for us to find our joy is to treat every day like Christmas. Let's take a look. Embedded in everyday moments. I know I do. So often I look forward to those big days, those big seasons, those big moments. I'm like, that's going to be a joy-filled moment, and I look so forward to that. But I can miss the joy in everyday moments. How about you? And when I think about this, I think about how can we rediscover that joy? How can we find those joy in everyday moments and these seemingly small, mundane experiences all around us? I believe for us to find it, we have to rediscover our own childlike wonder. That we have to see the world through a child and through childlike eyes. It's the kind of eyes that wants to go around and round in a turnstile, or maybe just say, I saw a dog today. Did you see a dog? I mean, that's the best part of my day. Or, I mean, whatever it could be. Because I believe that each and every one of us, and even in the world around us, that's looking for joy. And I know this because of Baby Yoda. Now, some of you may not be watching The Mandalorian, the new Star Wars show on Disney Plus, but I know you know about Baby Yoda at this point. Baby Yoda has taken the world by storm, literally, and of course the internet. So I know you know about it. But I think, you know, through, and that's what I love about this, because Mandalorian, it lets us see that world through Baby Yoda's eyes. You know, Baby Yoda coos. Baby Yoda is annoying and touches all the buttons on the starship. Baby Yoda eats frogs until all the other kids think it's gross, and then Baby Yoda spits them out. I mean, Baby Yoda is awesome. Baby Yoda uses the Force only when necessary. But it's just love. It's just that childlike wonder that all of us get caught up in, that we enjoy. And it brings joy to all of us. And then it gives us a little something that people go, hey, are you watching The Mandalorian? Have you seen Baby Yoda? It's awesome. But it's just that thing that then brings us together. And so I have to tell you a little shout out. So if you're looking for another Baby Yoda fix, that I want to invite you to Deerfield and to the homes of our very own Table of Grace members, Jill and Marty Sims, because in their Christmas decorations, they have a Baby Yoda hot off the presses. So I hear it's creating quite a commotion around their house. So if you're looking for a joy-filled experience this afternoon or this evening, just stop by Deerfield and go check it out. But this is the kind of thing that really does bring more joy to our lives. I mean, this is what we love about Christmas. We love to see it through the eyes of a child. Eyes that remind us that Christmas is a time of wonder, of lights, of everything being possible. And that's what we get to remember. And that's what children remind us of. Perhaps that's why Jesus says the kingdom of heaven belongs to the little children. Because they can see the impossible and it brings them joy when you and I have lost joy. That's how we treat every day like Christmas. But of course, once we begin to find this joy, then we need to share it with others by singing loud for all to hear. Let's check it out. That's what our joy does. Our joy is infectious. It invites others in. And in fact, Romans 12, 10 and 13 gives us a way in which you and I can share our joy with others. It says this, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. What Paul, who is writing to the Romans, is saying this. This is how you share joy with other people. You honor them. You're devoted to them. You never lack in zeal. You're joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Practice hospitality. Go and create joy. Share it with others. That's how we do it. And maybe we could add, sing a little loud for all to hear. But I do know this today, whatever your home may look like today, we could all use a little bit more joy. We can use more joy in our home. We can use more joy out in the world. So I invite you today, whether you feel joy in your hearts, to open your heart up to God, to begin to look for it out in the world around you and the lives of other people, to begin to create it for others, because then you will find the joy you're looking for. Will you pray with me? God, as we come today to gather in this place as your people, God, we pray for more joy in our hearts and in this world. More joy so that people could see all that you're doing in this world, Lord God. That they could celebrate your wonder, your mystery, your love, your hope, your peace. And may that joy come from you, God, who invites us to experience life in a way that we could never ask or imagine. So may your joy fill our hearts. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.